afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Current Word here on WSHO Radio in New Orleans, Louisiana. My name is Kathleen Benfield, and for the next hour, we'll be discussing current events. Yes, you heard about that. Current events from a Christian point of view. Today is July the 18th, 2019. Well, and it's an overcast, headache-inducing afternoon here in the city of New Orleans. My head's about to explode from the pressure. It's about to rain around the area. I think there have been some funnel clouds, or what do you call those, water spouts sighted in the area over the lake and such. So it's getting ready to rain here. But as always, we're cool and dry in the beautiful downtown studios of WSHO Radio here in New Orleans, Louisiana. We're so happy to have you along for the ride today as well. We're halfway through another power-packed month of broadcasting, but this is our last broadcast for the week. Of course, Bob will be here with you tomorrow, so I hope you'll stay tuned for his program. Again, we did want to remind you about the PSA that we played right before the show about the fundraiser to raise money to bury babies whose parents cannot afford to bury them. And that's July 21st, this Sunday, coming up at 2 o'clock p.m. And I have the links and the phone number to call for that on the show notes for today. And then we're going to be joined at 4:20 today by Christopher Holton, who's going to share with us about the big event they have coming up next week. And then also we're going to be discussing some things that have been in the news recently that he would be uniquely qualified to discuss with me. So we'll be talking about Sharia law and just a lot of other security, national sovereignty, Israel, a few other topics when Christopher calls us at 4:20. So in the meantime, we will continue with some topics. If you would like to join us, if you would like to join the conversation, if there's something that we haven't talked about that you think we should have talked about, then give us a call, 504-527-0800, 504-527-0800. Also, you can join us live at WSHO.com, where you simply click on Watch and Listen Live, and you can do just that. And if you miss the show or you want to get the information that I post in the show notes each and every day, then you simply go to afano.org, afano.org, where you can listen to previous broadcasts and you can find out what happened on the show on any particular day. It's very easy for you to access that. All right, let's get started with some topics. Let's get started with some topics, and then we'll continue on. Let's see. The first one I wanted to bring to your attention is something that happened in Great Britain, but it doesn't really mean that it couldn't happen here, and it's so close. Now, I need to remind you that Great Britain doesn't have a First Amendment, so it's a little different there in terms of what people can and cannot say. You might know that both Canada and Great Britain, I don't know if you're supposed to call it Great Britain or the United Kingdom, I guess Great Britain, there are certain things you cannot say. And for example, as I've mentioned before, Dr. James Dobson's programs or Focus on the Family or some others, they need to be modified before they can be broadcast. Some of the shows need to be modified before they can be broadcast in these other countries because of the restrictions on hate speech. And that is what happens in other places. Well, recently, you might remember this guy, Piers Morgan. I don't know if he was on CNN or MSNBC, I'm not sure, but he was on one of the more progressive left-wing cable news outlets, right? So his name is Piers Morgan. He was here, but he left and he went back to Britain. He's originally from Britain. So he was interviewing a doctor. This doctor's name is Dr. David Makareth, M-A-C-K-E-R-T-H. Wait, yeah, M-A-C-K, E-R-E-T-H, M-A-C-K-E-R-E-T-H, Dr. David Makareth. Now, it turns out that Dr. Makareth is a Christian, and he wanted to work for this British government agency called the Department for Work and Pensions, and he would assess the health of individuals that would be applying for benefits. So we sort of have that here in the United States. When people apply for Social Security disability, they will have medical professionals review the person's medical history and what their disability is to determine if they qualify for Social Security disability. So that is what Dr. Makareth, that's the kind of job he was applying for. But Dr. Makareth was turned down. The reason is because Britain has this thing called the Equality Acts of 2010. The Equality Acts of 2010. And the reason that Dr. Makareth was denied this position, you ready for it? Because he wouldn't use clients' indicated gender and pronouns. So, wow, this is like we talked yesterday about this Dr. Leanna Wynn, the former director, CEO of Planned Parenthood. Part of the reason why they terminated, and I use that word purposefully, terminated her, was because she was not, quote unquote, trans inclusive. She refused to believe that a man could have a baby. So she was fired partially. That was partially the reason. She wasn't willing to accept that a man could not, that she wasn't willing to accept that, according to Planned Parenthood, a man could have a baby. Now, of course, no one in their right mind believes that a man can have a baby. And neither did Dr. David Makareth. But he also would refuse to believe that a person could be something other than the biological sex they were born with. So this is what Dr. Makareth said. He said, "By changing the way we use pronouns, we completely change who we are as a society and who we are as a people. As a Christian, I believe that to use pronouns in that way is dishonest, and I could not do that in good conscience. I don't believe a person can change sex. I don't believe a person can change gender, or that sex and gender are the same thing." Here is how Piers Morgan, the interviewer on Good Morning Britain, responded. Piers Morgan said, "Do you understand that makes you a bigot?" So Piers Morgan responded, "Do you understand that makes you a bigot?" So basically, Morgan was calling this doctor a bigot because he would not use the acceptable pronouns that an individual would want him to use. And then Dr. Makareth, he asked Piers Morgan to define what he meant by bigot. And here's what Morgan said. That is someone who is woefully intolerant of people who go through an extraordinary long and painful transition process, both physically and psychologically. He continued, "They do it because fundamentally they believe they were born in the wrong body, the wrong gender, the wrong sex. Shouldn't you just find it in your Christian heart to actually respect that?" Then Dr. Makareth says, "The Bible tells us that God made us male and female. He made us for his own glory." I love this guy. He's like going head to head with a hedonistic person who doesn't understand scripture at all. And he's going head to head with him, but not in a mean-spirited or, you know, unloving way. He's just telling him the truth. Then Dr. Makareth says, "If I'm a bigot, then the whole of Christianity throughout history is bigotry. I don't believe that. I believe Christianity is the truth of God." So then there's more from Morgan, and this is really telling. So this is how the Dr. Makareth responded as a Christian, but I want you to hear how Morgan responded to a Bible-believing Christian. Remember now, this Dr. Makareth was denied the opportunity to work at a particular job for one reason, and that is he believes that men and women, there are only two, male and female. God created men and women that way, and you can't change that. You cannot change your biological sex. All right, so here's how Morgan responds, and this is so illustrative of how the left deals with these issues. So Morgan then tells Dr. Makareth, well, if you take the Bible literally, then you would have to stone people for adultery. Okay, so now he's going back to the Old Testament, that's it. Really, it's almost exactly opposite of what Jesus said when the men were getting ready to stone a woman for adultery. He said, let you who was without sin cast the first stone. All right. But so then Morgan says, given your self-righteousness. So now he's not only called him a bigot, but he's called him a self-righteous bigot. Given your self-righteousness, do you wander around the streets of your city looking for people who are looking at people in a lustful way and stone them to death? And if not, why not? Okay. So Morgan keeps on going. Jesus Christ told you to be tolerant of people as well, and you seem to have failed that test. You are citing the Bible to defend your bigotry. Now, this line is like the killer of this whole interview. We have all moved on from large swaths of the Bible. That's what Pierce Morgan tells this doctor. We have all moved on from large swaths of the Bible. And I believe swaths, W-A-T-H-E-S, you know, like large areas, like, you know, yeah. And you don't hear that word too much, you know, here in the United States. I mean, I guess it's, people use that, but it's not like used a lot. It is, you know, it's an area, basically, a row. The doctor accused Morgan of ranting at him, and Morgan finally said, I think we're done here. Let's get David some stones. Now, of course, the doctor's name is David Makareth. So he says, let's get Morgan, the interviewer, says, let's get David some stones. So there's so much here in what was said, both by the doctor and by the Pierce Morgan guy. And look, Pierce Morgan is no different than any other progressive left-wing interviewer that you would see on any of the cable network television, including even Fox News, right? So the killer here is that we have all moved on from large swaths of the Bible. And this is such a true statement, and it's not true just in Great Britain, right? It's true here in the United States of America. It's true for many of the mainstream old line denominations. They have moved on from large swaths of the Bible. In other words, they have torn out pages of the Bible and moved on. Someone was asking me today, a young person was asking me, what is a heathen? This describes perfectly a heathen, a person who has no concern for what is morally right. And only our culture is concerned about what feels good. How does this affect me emotionally? How does it make me feel? And if you make me feel bad, there's something wrong with you. But I was also talking to someone yesterday about this whole idea of transitioning from one gender to another, from the biological sex you're born with to whatever it is that you desire to be. And let's just think about this for a few moments. So we have the transition. So basically, in this, and I'm not in any way mocking a person who does have, you know, this gender dysphoria. And this is indeed a psychological, a mental issue that needs to be dealt with and needs to be dealt with compassionately, not, you know, in the way that Pierce Morgan depicts us as Christians dealing with it. But a person who believes that they, you know, this is what Pierce Morgan said. It says they believe that they were born in the wrong body, the wrong gender, the wrong sex. And as I mentioned to you maybe a week or so ago, it's very interesting that we have a lack of congruence between the mental state of an emotional state of the individual on one hand and the physical state of the individual on the other hand. Now, there's two ways to reconcile that incongruence, right? There's two ways to reconcile that. One is the person could seek help to change their mental and emotional state in order to coincide with the biological sex that they are born with. Or secondly, the person can seek medical and physical assistance in trying to make the body coincide with the mental and emotional state. So in the past, in our culture, surely there were people, you know, years ago that had these issues. I'm sure it's not just like something that sprung up in recent decades. The way that people dealt with it was to seek help to try to get the mental and emotional state to coincide with the physical, because no one would have believed that a person could change their body. And of course they can. They can mutilate the body, but they could never change the DNA of the biological sex of which they were born. And so I was talking about this with someone, and so they should really ban this whole transitioning notion, because if you're really the wrong thing, if you really are a man, even though your biological DNA says that you're a woman, if you really are a man, then you shouldn't have to transition, right? You just are. I mean, you would be the opposite sex. But no, they use words like transition or gender reassignment. All of these, to me, it would seem like would be words that they would shun simply because it doesn't respect the reality of what this person is thinking. But it's very interesting, though, that I think that our culture has morphed from trying to help people to have the mind coincide with the bodily, physical reality, whereas now the idea is to have the body changed in an attempt to coincide with the mental and physical state of the individual. Again, it all goes along with the whole idea that a person could, which we know is not true, and we've had two doctors, the pro-abortion, radical pro-abortion, Dr. Leanna Nguyen, the head of Planned Parenthood, and now a Christian doctor that is British. He lives in Great Britain, and he was applying for a job in Great Britain. That was all taking place in Great Britain. We've had two doctors now who one a Christian, one most likely not, and I don't know that for sure, the head of Planned Parenthood, say no, they're not trans-inclusive. But yet Christians, because they believe in certain things like, they don't believe in man-made anthropogenic global warming. They don't believe in billions and billions of years old Earth. They're called science deniers. But what about people who believe that they can change DNA? It doesn't happen. And yet they would calling us science deniers. But the other thing is, you know, Piers Morgan was asking this doctor, what would Jesus do, that we should be more tolerant? And again, I want to reinforce that we are commanded by Scripture to speak the truth in love, and not to be mocking people no matter what. But Jesus was not what this, you know, Casper milquetoast person that these liberals, who quote Scripture, which is never a good idea to have liberals quoting Scripture. He's not that person. He was not tolerant of sin. He was not tolerant of the religious and civil government leaders of his day. So, again, it's a bad idea when liberals use Scripture, because they invariably, quote it out of context and improperly. All right, then. Let's see. And why do I mention all this? Because we're just a few years behind this thing that happened there in Great Britain. We had the guy in the fire chief of Atlanta, Georgia, who, he was applying. Let's see. Yeah, Kelvin Cochran. And then we had the other who was fired because he was teaching the truth about scripture in a Bible study that he was given. And then we had the other guy who had applied for a job because he was a doctor, because he was a born-again Christian who was using the scripture appropriately, he was denied a job. So that's happening here in the United States of America. You should believe that. All right, then. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to bring on our guest, Christopher Holton of the Center for Security Policy. We'll be right back.
The Gospel of Mark says the following: "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover."
Does that sound like your church? It sure sounds like my church.
God's anointing promises unlimited possibilities according to your belief. So come with great expectations. Revival Fire Believers Meeting.
Join us for Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a radio ministry of the Institute for Creation Research. We want to encourage you in your Christian faith by showing how scientific evidence supports the Bible, particularly the Genesis account. When we see that the first and most foundational book of the Bible can be trusted in all matters, including science, it builds confidence in the rest of the inspired word all the way to Revelation.
Sunday afternoon at 2:45 p.m. on Sunshine 800 WSHO.
Does the Bible have anything to say to this generation? Or have we made so much progress that we don't need the Bible any longer? Tune in for Ronald L. Dart and Born to Win. Every Monday through Friday morning at 9 and Sunday morning at 8:30, right here on WSHO, AM 800. And we'll talk about what the Bible really has to say to this generation. And visit us online at borntowin.net.
It's now easier than ever to hear your favorite radio station, WSHO, whenever and wherever you want. If you have a smart speaker, just say, "Play WSHO."
Sunshine 800 from TuneIn.
You found Sunshine 800.
Got Roku? Simply add the WSHO Roku channel on your Roku TV or Roku streaming device. Sunshine 800 is there for you 24 hours a day.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to The Current Word here on WSHO Radio in New Orleans, Louisiana. And today we're going to be speaking with Christopher Holton. Christopher works with the Center for Security Policy, and that is a wonderful organization that does a great service of advocating for security, for national security, and educating people about threats to our national security. Christopher is the Vice President for Outreach at the Center for Security Policy. Christopher, welcome to The Current Word. Good afternoon, sir.
Well, thank you very much for having me again. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. So the first thing is let's get this out of the way. I wanted to give you an opportunity just to explain about this Gulf South briefing that you're going to be having next Wednesday and invite our listeners and tell them how they can get a reservation and how they can go to that.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, we're holding a briefing in Mandeville on Wednesday evening, 24 July, from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And we're going to have multiple speakers, including yours truly, talking about national security issues, especially the threat from jihad. It's going to be held at the Mandeville Community Center at 3090 East Causeway Approach in Mandeville, right across from Mandeville City Hall. And if someone would like information or would like to RSVP, we do request RSVPs. They can email cspgulfsouth@usa.com. That's cspgulfsouth@usa.com. If you'd like information on this event or if you'd like to reserve a spot, please send an email to that account and we will be in touch.
All right. And of course, I'll have that in the show notes for today so that people can go and they can see it, the email address written right out in case they missed that. All right. So let's see. The Center for Security Policy is in the news this week. There's an article that appeared in USA Today. And, well, it's kind of amazing the claims that are being made in this article. And it seems like it could have been written by perhaps maybe some of the Center for Security Policy's biggest detractors. And I'll let you talk about that
a little bit.
Well,
I think it was.
Yes.
I mean, look, we're on the left's radar screen.
Yeah, and, so tell us about this article. And what is it that their biggest beef is with? This was written, in USA Today, and apparently they've been doing a big study of legislation going around the country as if there's never model legislation on any other topic.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Christopher. Go ahead. Tell us about this.
Yes. The article kind of goes in so many different directions. The authors can't make up their mind whether they dislike legislation because of its merits or because it doesn't accomplish what they are afraid it's going to accomplish, or if they just don't like model legislation, which, again, as you mentioned, is something that has been going on for decades. It's not a new phenomenon, model legislation. But they wrote an article about two pieces of legislation that we've been involved in. One of them is American Laws for American Courts, which has been dubbed anti-Sharia legislation, despite the fact that the word Sharia does not appear anywhere in the model language. And it's completely neutral. It's been passed in a dozen states. It's been used in court, has never been challenged. Basically, what American Laws for American Courts says is that a court in this state will not apply a foreign law or a foreign legal doctrine if the application of that foreign law or foreign legal doctrine would result in the violation of the fundamental constitutional rights of any of the parties involved in the dispute in the case at hand.
Yeah, so let me ask you right there. Well, let me stop you for just a second. In this article that was in USA Today, they're acting like that never happens, okay? What is the one of the primary, or are there any primary areas where judges, American judges, elected or appointed here in the United States of America to uphold the Constitution of the United States, have been allowing Sharia law to be a consideration when adjudicating various cases? What would some of the examples?
It has happened. We documented in a book that we wrote at the center called Sharia in American Courts, which is available on our website in PDF form. Anybody that wants to read it, you can download it for free, or you can buy it off of Amazon, Sharia in American Courts. It has happened. It's been documented. There have been cases in which parents have lost their children because of court orders from Sharia courts in Pakistan that were upheld by U.S. judges. Happened in Maryland, for instance, in a case known as Hussein versus Malik. There have been other cases involving other forms of foreign law, not just Sharia. The reason this American Laws for American Courts has been dubbed anti-Sharia legislation, however, is because so often cases in which fundamental constitutional rights are at risk involve laws of Islamic nations, which are subordinated to or based on Sharia, because Sharia is fundamentally aligned against our fundamental constitutional freedoms. The two just bump up against each other whenever they appear in court. Mm-hmm. I mean, because especially when it comes to women,
right.
The rights of women under Sharia are very limited, especially vis-a-vis men. So it has happened in U.S. courts, and that's the reason for the bill, is to prevent that from ever happening again. And it's strictly to protect fundamental constitutional rights in the U.S. And we've been called bigots mm-hmm. for authoring a bill to protect fundamental constitutional rights
Amazing.
In U.S. courts. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, one of the cases in which it has actually been applied is in Kansas, and the person whose rights were protected was a Muslim female. The people whose rights will be protected primarily under these laws, when we're talking about cases involving Sharia or laws from Islamic countries, are primarily Muslim females. So how that can be considered anti-Islamic, I don't know. But that's what the authors at USA Today have come to the conclusion,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
people at the Southern Poverty Law Center
right.
and the Council on American Islamic Relations, who are the primary sources for the hit piece that USA Today published today.
Yeah, so they use the legal geniuses at the Southern Poverty Law Center and CAIR, who obviously have no, you know, skin in this game, right? They don't, you know, they're just objective bystanders. I'm being sarcastic, of course.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They're as objective as an Atlanta Falcons fan at a Saints game.
Right. Exactly. That's good. That's a good one. That's a good one, Christopher. So, anyway, why do you think the USA Today was wanting to go in this direction?
Well, they hooked up with this Center for Public Integrity, which mm-hmm. is one of the co-authors was from the Center for Public Integrity, which sounds like a great organization when you look at it. But then when you research the Center for Public Integrity and you find out that they're funded by George Soros.
Oh, boy.
And Soros has been after us for a long time. He funds the Center for American Progress and Think Progress, who used to follow me around and follow my boss around and harass us. Write pieces about this legislation. So this is a combined operation of George Soros, Southern Poverty Law Center, who, in my opinion, is probably funded by Soros, and also the Muslim Brotherhood in the form of the Council on American Islamic Relations.
Yeah.
So that's who all got together to write this big article. And, you know, the other bill that they don't like, the other law that they don't like, is something called Andy's Law. And all Andy's Law does is it empowers victims of terrorism to sue those who provide material support
mm-hmm.
for terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
They create a straw man argument in that they say that you can already sue for this, but that's not what Andy's Law does. What Andy's Law does is it creates a civil cause of action involving treble damages and attorney's fees, which really empowers victims of terrorism and their families to conduct legal action against those who provide material support for terrorism. Again, CAIR claims that this is an anti-Muslim bill. There's nothing about Islam or Muslims in any of the language. It can be used against any organization that conducts terrorist operations, whether it be a right-wing organization or Antifa or somebody like that. And we understand that Antifa is particularly worried about this piece of legislation because it could absolutely be used against them.
Wow.
They've really singled that one out as a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The left has.
Yeah,
those are the two pieces that were featured in this article.
Let me ask you this. Which ones have we passed here in Louisiana?
Both of them.
Right.
Both of them.
Amen. Good job. Yeah. And then, and of course, you and some others here in I know you're a Louisiana resident. You and some others have worked on both of those. And that's really.
Well, American Laws for American Courts was authored by Ernest Wooten in the House when he was in office.
Yeah.
And Senator Danny Martini. And
right.
It was signed into law by Bobby Jindal. That was way back in 2011.
Okay.
And then Representative Cameron Henry was the one who did Andy's Law.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And he's still very much in office. And
in fact,
great leader.
He's going to be running for, he's a representative now, but he's going to run for the state, Louisiana State Senate in this upcoming October election. All right, I have a couple of questions from listeners for you. What about Antifa storming an ICE facility and raising the Mexican flag? Are you familiar with that incident, and you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, it's the incident involved two things that actually happened, the incidents. I think it's almost two separate incidents, but the Antifa member threw combustible materials, could be termed firebombs, at a facility, an ICE facility, resulted in a car catching on fire. ICE personnel very properly responded with gunfire and killed the assailant. Antifa has published online eulogizing this hero of their revolution. At the same time, people at the facility in Colorado stormed the ICE facility, took down the American flag, put up the Mexican flag, and also defaced the American flag, and then ran it up the flagpole upside down with markings on it. I'm not sure what the markings had on it, but they defaced the American flag. That was a attempted terrorist attack.
Yeah.
In my opinion, the Antifa member throwing firebombs
right.
at an ICE facility.
Right.
I congratulate ICE for responding appropriately to such a threat to life and property.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Okay, the next question was by someone who wanted to know if you could address the issue about Iran taking of an oil tanker. And do you have any knowledge about that and can comment on that?
Yes. In the last couple of days, a relatively small Panamanian oil tanker, Panamanian flagged oil tanker, based in the United Arab Emirates, was transiting the Strait of Hormuz and disappeared, stopped broadcasting its transponder. So it disappeared from radar screens at about 11 p.m. local time a couple days ago. First, the Iranians claimed that they were rendering aid to the tanker. But then it came out today, they said that they had in fact seized the tanker. They haven't really said, I think they're going to say that it was involved in smuggling, but this is more than likely retaliation for the British and Spanish authorities seizing an Iranian oil tanker off Gibraltar over a week ago, which was suspected in violating European Union sanctions to get oil to Syria. The Iranians said that they were going to attempt to retaliate. They tried to attack or seize a British tanker in the Persian Gulf, but a Royal Navy frigate was on the scene, and the Iranians quickly backed down because they were outgunned. So they may have decided that a very small Panamanian flag tanker out of the United Arab Emirates was a much more suitable target for their capabilities. We'll have to see how this works its way out. You know, the Iranians have a long history of taking hostages and capturing
yes.
things that don't belong to them.
Yes.
As we know.
Yes. All right. Let's see. Christopher, can you stay with us for just a little bit longer? I have two other topics I wanted to ask you about. Do you have a little bit more time?
I'd be glad to. I'd be happy to.
All right, then. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I have some other topics I would like Christopher to address. If you have a question for Christopher, the number here is 504-527-0800. Our guest is Christopher Holton of the Center for Security Policy. We will be right back.
Get us on the radio, watch us on TV, hear us on your smartphone, stream us to your PC, connect us to smart speakers, see us on Roku, send us through your earbuds, we're here, we're there for you. Hear us, watch us, stream us, everywhere, 24 hours a day, we're Sunshine 800 WSHO.
Psalm 47 verse 1 says, "O clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph." Does that sound like your church? Sure sounds like White Dove. A fresh wind of the Holy Spirit is flowing in our services with healings, deliverances, and empowerment. You are valued, and your presence will have significance in creating an atmosphere of faith and praise.
Need some you time? Tune in to Focus on the Family. Helpful, inspirational, insightful. To help your family thrive. Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. on WSHO.
It's now easier than ever to hear your favorite radio station, WSHO, whenever and wherever you want. If you have a smart speaker, just say, "Play WSHO."
Sunshine 800 from TuneIn.
You found Sunshine 800.
Got Roku? Simply add the WSHO Roku channel on your Roku TV or Roku streaming device. Sunshine 800 is there for you 24 hours a day.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to The Current Word here on WSHO Radio in New Orleans, Louisiana. Today, our guest is Christopher Holton with the Center for Security Policy, and we are discussing items related to national security. Christopher, there was an interesting article in The Advocate this week about the East Baton Rouge sheriff, and apparently he has come under fire for renewing an immigration agreement with the United States federal government, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. What is that about? And, is the sheriff doing the right thing? And what, you know, should we be concerned about the things that people are upset with him for doing that? Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, look, all he's doing is he's one of the sheriffs in this country who's patriotic and wants to cooperate with federal law enforcement and actually enforce federal law when he's able to do so. Mm-hmm. And he has decided that he is going to do that. He's simply enforcing federal law and cooperating with federal authorities to apprehend those who have broken the law, either by coming into this country illegally or have overstayed their visas and are no longer in this country legally. And so in the course of their business, if they come across somebody and they arrest somebody for a crime of some sort, they will attempt to determine that person's citizenship status.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really all there is to it. I don't think there's a legitimate objection to that.
Yeah.
But the radical left in this country has decided that anything along those lines is is going to be
hateful and bigoted, basically.
Racist or white nationalist or white supremacist, which seems to be what their mantra is now.
Yeah, that's a new...
Anything that they disagree with makes you a racist or a white nationalist or a white supremacist. It's absolutely absurd. It's just an attempt to stifle opposition.
Right. And so basically all this is saying... It doesn't have, well, the sheriff has said, it doesn't mean that they're going out into the community and rounding up people or any of those things. They're just saying that local law enforcement officers will fulfill their duties as is prescribed by federal law. And it helps to get people who are legally in this country and who face serious charges off the streets. And so... you know, it's just amazing that people would take issue.
I congratulate the sheriff for his stance.
Amen. I
think that there are a lot of sheriffs who have taken that same stance. They're all to be congratulated. There are a few sheriffs in this country who have decided not to cooperate with federal law enforcement.
Right.
I think most of them.
Yeah, his name is Sid Gautreau. He is the sheriff of East Baton Rouge Parish. Apparently, Baton Rouge has the same setup as New Orleans, where they have a police chief whose name is Murphy Paul, and then a sheriff whose name is Sid Gautreau. So, all right then. Another listener wanted me to ask you about, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but a situation in which the United States has excluded the country of Turkey from the F-35 program. I'm not that familiar with any of that. Maybe you are. Do you know anything about that?
The F-35 strike fighter is the most advanced strike fighter in the world. Its primary mission is to conduct attack operations, air-to-ground attack operations. It has a secondary air-to-air capability as well. It's stealthy. It has incredibly advanced avionics, which are largely classified, that give it capabilities that that the pilots can't even talk about yet at this point, because they're that advanced and that revolutionary. And it's been a joint program, a combined program, the Navy, the Marine Corps, and the Air Force in the United States, and a combined program with many of our NATO allies, Israel, and also, I believe Japan is interested in it as well, and possibly Australia. Now, Turkey, as a member of NATO, was signed on to the program. However, Turkey is run by a guy named Erdogan, who fancies himself the new Ottoman Sultan and wants to create a caliphate with a seat in Turkey. He has been running afoul of the U.S. for some time now. One of the things that he has done is he has decided to get close to Putin the punk, Vladimir Putin, and he has decided he's going to buy S-400 surface-to-air missiles from Russia. In other words, a member of NATO is going to buy a surface-to-air missile system from Russia. The main reason that NATO exists is because of the Russian threat. And this guy is buying missiles from Russia, and they took delivery of those missiles starting this week. President Trump warned Erdogan that if he did so, that he would get no F-35s. So he took delivery of them. So Trump followed through on his threat, which is one of the unique things about Trump that gets a lot of people nervous, is he actually does what he says he's going to do. People aren't used to politicians doing that. Well, Trump does that, and he says they're not getting F-35s. And there's a practical reason for why they shouldn't get F-35s, because Turkey could pass information about the F-35 on to Russia,
right,
and Russian technicians helping Turkey with the S-400 could also possibly obtain information during the course of their operations about the F-35 as well.
So it's a national security issue.
I think Turkey needs to be kicked out of NATO. The problem is there's really no mechanism in the North Atlantic Treaty for kicking Turkey out or kicking anybody out.
Right.
Nobody foresaw this eventuality, but I think they need to be voted out.
All right.
My personal opinion.
Thank you. Thank you for that explanation, Christopher. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to ask you about was what's been going on in Congress right now. And basically, there are competing resolutions, I guess you could call it, over this whole issue of boycott, divest, and sanction of Israel. So let me just quickly explain that, and then I want to get your commentary on it. So over the last few years, there's been developed in the United States, I'm sure as well as worldwide, efforts by those who are against the nation of Israel to come up with economic mechanisms to punish the nation of Israel. And the movement itself is called the BDS movement, which is boycott. In other words, don't do business with Israel. Divest, to divest of any types of stocks or bonds that would be related to the nation of Israel, and sanction the nation of Israel over the whole issue of you know, the two states and what they call the Palestinian people. So there are efforts to pass a resolution that would forbid or that would discourage people in the United States from participating in that. And then now we have Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib trying to pass resolutions that support the BDS movement. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that and what you think about any of that.
Well, look, this was a program that was originally started by members of Hamas.
Okay.
That's been conceived of the BDS movement originally.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of a resistance movement. Hamas stands for the Islamic Resistance Movement. So this is a Hamas-supporting movement, and Omar has now filed legislation which doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of going anywhere, of course, but she still is a supporter of this movement, which is a Hamas movement. I think that's very instructive of where she's coming from, and it fits in with a lot of what she has said, and it fits in with a lot of her associations with Muslim Brotherhood operatives.
Mm-hmm.
It fits in with her background as well.
Wow. So this is all of these different things, and are just so amazing. And again, so it's so important that we have people that are knowledgeable about what is happening in our country. You know, basically attempts to destroy the sovereignty, not only of our own nation, but of the sovereign nation of Israel. And wow, I just appreciate so much you, Christopher. Let's take a call. We've got a caller on the line that wants to ask you a question. We have Frank on the line. Frank, welcome to The Current Word. You're on with Christopher Holton.
Yeah,
go ahead, Frank. Quickly,
yeah,
please.
That's Christopher. He knows anything about that Russian submarine incident about a week or so. I lose track of time, but it was destroyed, and I think it had like a dozen Russian Navy guys that were killed. I thought somebody suggested that the United States did that from a laser beam or something like that. You know
All
anything
right.
about that?
All right, Frank. Well, thanks a lot. Okay. I'm going to ask you, just in the interest of time, since we're running out, if you could hang up and just listen. And
okay,
thank you. Christopher, are you familiar with this about a Russian submarine?
Yeah,
I had heard that.
A Russian research submarine, they're calling it a research submarine, experienced a catastrophic failure in which 14 high-ranking Russian naval officers perished. There were 17 crew members. 14 of them died. You know, the Russians are very secretive. They're not going to say what the submarine was actually up to. There's a lot of theories out there as to what it may have been up to. I don't know what it was up to, but it's a deep submersible submarine designed to go very deep. It's thought that it may have been trying to tap into cables of various types. The thing about this, you know, the U.S. has deep submersible vessels as well. Those are usually specialized for that purpose, and usually are rather small and slow moving. This Russian deep submersible research vessel had a top speed submerged of 30 knots, which is about 35 miles per hour, which is, to me, very unusual for a research vessel to have the capability of going that fast.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you need to go that fast if
yeah.
you're a research vessel? So I don't really know. You'd have to find someone with expertise in submarine operations to to answer those questions authoritatively for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I can promise you that if the Russians say black, the truth is white, because they will not tell the truth about that.
Mm-hmm.
That much I know.
Yeah, wow. Well, Christopher, you've been such a great source of information. Why don't you tell our listeners how they can find out more information about you and about the Center for Security Policy? I'll be posting links to all the topics that we talked about today, but just go ahead and tell them how they can find out more about the work that you're doing.
We have a great website at the centerforsecuritypolicy.org. That's centerforsecuritypolicy.org.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, next week, Wednesday evening, 24 July, we have a briefing that we're conducting in Mandeville. And you can get reservations by emailing cspgulfsouth@usa.com. That's cspgulfsouth@usa.com.
Right. And the CSP stands for Center Security Policy. So in case you're wondering,
correct.
You know, sometimes
right.
when you say letters. So it's C as in center, S as in security, P as in policy, gulfsouth@usa.com. But if you can do email, you can just go to our website where I post the show notes for the day, and I've already got it up there so people can click right on that and send you an email. And that's next Wednesday, July 24th, starting at 6:30 p.m., but you want people to contact you to make a reservation, and I totally get that. All right, then. Well, Christopher Holton, thank you again for being a wealth of information on so many different topics, and thank you for the great work that the center is doing to protect our national sovereignty and to protect the security of the citizens of our country. Thank you, sir.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, then. All right, everyone, our listeners, thank you for tuning in today. We've had a really lively discussion today. So much great information. And I appreciate you listening. I will be back on Monday for more days in which we expose the darkness and shine the light of truth.